and you're very welcome to Ours to Protect. This week on the programme, we're looking at biodiversity trails at the University of Galway with John Caulfield of the University. If you want to get in contact with the programme, you can do so on irishtoprotect@galwaybayfm.ie. You can go to the website irishtoprotect.ie for more details on this initiative, where you can take an ecological footprint calculator, and you can also do a quick survey on the type of eco-action programming you would like to hear on your local radio station. All that plus lots more coming up on this edition of Ours to Protect. Hello and you're very welcome into today's edition of Ours to Protect. As I mentioned there, we're looking at biodiversity trails at the University of Galway, and it follows on, I suppose, from last week in the Burn Nature Sanctuary and all the work that they're doing out there in terms of their conservation and rewilding initiatives. But biodiversity, we do know we're in a biodiversity disaster really in the world as of 2018-2019 times it was declared as a national and international emergency. I'm joined by John Caulfield of the University of Galway to talk about their biodiversity trails. John, you're very welcome onto the programme today. And just the weekend gone by there, you had photo walks at these biodiversity trails.
Hi, John. Yeah, we had a great crowd visiting on campus. You know, our students are gone during the summer, by and large. But during the summer, we're very much opened up to visitors. And Galway is buzzing at the moment. You know, with the Arts Festival brought an awful lot of people onto campus. But we're really pleased to say that as a space to enjoy nature, the campus is being increasingly appreciated, and we know that in particular, believe it or not, international tourists love exploring nature. And one of the things they do, we found in increasing numbers, is when they're in the city, they want to make a break and see a little bit of nature. And the university campus is a perfect place, as I hope I'll get to tell you about all the wonderful things to see. But it's a perfect place to see lots of different habitats, different plants, different types of trees, different animals or insects, or the sights and sounds and the smells of nature while they're staying in the city.
Absolutely. Talk to us about the biodiversity trail. I know you've it sectioned off in those different habitats, and you get a different sense that you're really encompassing a lot of different ecosystems on this trail.
We are, yeah. And I suppose it goes back a few years. You know, we have experts in the university, as you know, in the School of Natural Sciences, who study nature and biodiversity from a lot of different angles. And back in 2014, there was this big national competition called a Bio Blitz, okay? And you had 24 hours to find as many, to identify as many species as you possibly could in your university. And we won. So Galway won. They found 628 species in one day. Incredible. An awful lot of plants and trees, lots of insects, mosses, grasses, algae, lots of things that, let's say, to normal people like myself or yourself, we may not identify or notice the difference between them. But of course, the different characteristics of all of these species are important, are all part of the bigger ecosystem. Mm. So on the back of that, I suppose we thought one way of, you know, bringing attention or opening up or raising awareness among the public into what's special about different types of habitats and the type of species they support is to create a biodiversity trail up along through the campus. The project was led by some of my colleagues, like Katrina Carlin. I call her Bat Lady. It's a compliment. She's like an expert on bats. She's so passionate about bats. She's brilliant. Dara Stanley, who actually left the university since, but she's the bee expert, bee and pollinators. Jamie Maxwell is a PhD student in the area of marine biology. So he's interested in life below water. So together they planned out identify the different habitats, and I kind of helped them, you know, develop and promote the trail. So it goes up through campus, and as I said, there's nine kind of distinctive, believe it or not, in the space of just one campus, nine distinctive habitats and things to look out for along the way.
And these nine distinctive habitats, are they sanctuaries for the different creatures and plants and life like that that are exist in them? Or is the idea that this is part of the natural landscape, or how do they differ, like?
All part of the natural landscape. Well, some of them, I suppose, are man-made. So at the very south of the campus, we have what you might term the kind of the man-made habitat. So the first one is College Park. Okay, so that's the big green space in front of the quadrangle. The grass is kept mowed. You know, we use it for sports. It's marked out as a pitch, and clubs, in particular, the Ultimate Frisbee people like to play there. So the grass is playing field is important for them. But right around it, and I'm sure your listeners can picture it in their mind's eye, are those huge deciduous trees. Okay, and they are so important to support life. So I think when we think of trees, we think of maybe leaves and nuts, But of course, all trees produce a flower. They may not be very noticeable at first, something like a sycamore. They're more noticeable in the horse chestnuts. They produce those beautiful candles, white and pink. They can support so many bees. I'm a beekeeper, and a sycamore tree or a horse chestnut tree can support a hive, wow, you know, with nectar, as much as, let's say, a field of dandelions would. So they're really important. And of course, what brings insects brings other creatures. So it's a great place to see bats at sunset in the summer. So if you're in town on a balmy evening, come up to the campus and see if you can spot some bats flying around College Park.
Absolutely. And I suppose that's very important as well, to have those pollinators, because they really prop up an ecosystem. Without them, the food chain breaks down significantly. And in terms of, it comes back to our table then down the line.
100%. And that was one of the key things of identifying and protecting habitats on campus. So one of these places, another man-made one, if you like, is at the back of Moffat's restaurant, where we have a herb garden and an orchard.
Yeah.
And some of those herb plants that we're all familiar with are really great for pollinators. Herbs attract us in as humans because of their smell and their taste. Of course, they attract in pollinators too. And one thing I would like to tell your listeners is, come on campus, explore the biodiversity trail. If you see anything edible, please take it with you. It's for you. If you see herbs, there's apple trees, there's rhubarb, there's berry trees, and you fancy it for your supper that evening or a snack along the way, please, it's for you. So it's for the bees, but it's also for you. So please do take it home with you.
Yeah.
Some of the other habitats, let's say, might be harder for people to identify one from the other. And that's why the trail helps too, you know. So what's the difference between, you know, a deciduous woodland? I suppose we're familiar with some of the trees we might see in there, and some of the, you know, the bluebells and the wild garlic that grow beneath the trees. Or an alluvial woodland. So an alluvial woodland is a woodland that gets flooded regularly. So it, as you might imagine, the trees or the plants growing there need to like damp conditions. So it's its own kind of mini ecosystem there. And things to look out for there include the alder trees, ivy, and some of the mammals, actually foxes and stoats that might be around campus. Mm. And all of the things on the trail have been spotted on campus. Some of them are a little bit harder to find than others. So around the Eglinton Canal, we've identified that as a habitat. That's down near the Shocknessy Bridge. There's a lot of little water courses and drains kind of meeting together. And, species that have been spotted there include kingfishers and otters, which are some of our harder to spot creatures. So best of luck seeing those. Mm. Funnily enough, we had one of our colleagues set up one of those cameras that can be triggered by movement.
Yeah.
So we have a photograph of an otter on campus. We know he's there, but best of luck seeing him. Keep your eyes peeled.
And what have the benefits of these biodiversity trails? What's the benefit been like, either anecdotally, or have you tracked it scientifically since he started this?
Well, one thing I noticed, one of my jobs was when we used to print the trail. We no longer do it because we want to cut down on paper. So it's online, universityofgalway.ie/biodiversitytrail, or just go into the visitor section of our website. Mm-hmm. You'll find it. We've a few different trails, so that this is one of them.
Yeah.
One of my jobs was making sure that the tourist office had boxes of these trails to hand out to tourists. Okay. We had one trail, a university trail, which is about all the historical sites. And we had the biodiversity trail. And for every one box of the university trail I brought, I had to bring three of the biodiversity.
Wow.
Because in particular, the international tourists, while they're here, they want to see what grows. Sometimes it may not be what grows and lives here. Sometimes it may not be special to us because we're so familiar with it.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's why even, you know, anyone living locally, I would encourage them to take the trail too, because these things are precious. They're part of the everyday, but that's what makes them precious. And I suppose we're so concerned. I have a lot of anxiety at the moment with what I'm reading and learning about just how chaotic the climate crisis is becoming.
Mm.
And how in danger our natural systems are. I remember my granny, when I was growing up, used to talk so fondly about the corncrake growing up in Wexford. Mm. It was the sound of her childhood, okay? There was no corncrakes left in Wexford, or indeed the east of the country, when I was growing up. So that was something that she associated with her everyday life that I couldn't experience. I heard one since on Inishbofin, and it was just an emotional moment actually for me. But the things that we enjoy now, the smells of honeysuckle in the ditches, or the smells of wild garlic in the woodlands, the sights of the butterflies we love, or the birds that we love to hear, or the taste of things that grow wild, all of those things may seem everyday, but they're so precious to us. And in the context of our rapidly changing climate and the role that biodiversity plays in helping to tackle that, I think we need to treasure those precious things that we have in our natural environment. And this is one way to learn a bit more about it.
And it helps human health as well, because I know there's studies ongoing in terms of the destruction of natural habitats and biodiversity and how that can lead to the spread of diseases and viruses like the coronavirus.
Yeah, I mean, that's on a big scale, macro level. When I think of health and the connection of health and well-being of humans to the natural environment, I think more of on a micro level, on an individual level. Mm. So this trail is along a walking path, right? It links from the quadrangle, as it says, in the South Campus, all the way up to the North Campus, where you're looking across at Menlo Castle, where all the bats live, or a lot of the bats live. Just a quick note, all 9 species of bats in Ireland have been identified on the campus.
Wow.
So they're there, look out for them. But like, it's a lovely walking or cycling trail. And not only is it good for the body, obviously we know that physical exercise, but it's so good for the mind. If you're having a tough time, get outdoors, even if it's a little bit drizzly. Get out. And we all know sometimes it's hard to get off the couch, right? Especially if you're bad form, you feel a bit stuck. But honestly, the fresh air, the sights and sounds, and just seeing yourself as part of a bigger picture, a bigger world, it just, I don't know, it lifts the spirits. Yeah. It releases some endorphins. I don't know what it is, but it's a great cure, daily cure, if you like, for body and mind.
Mm. I'm delighted to hear it's going well for you there, the biodiversity trails, and long may it continue into the summer. Hopefully there's a bit more sunshine when the tourists are coming that they can enjoy all the fruits of the labour, pardon the pun. But John Caulfield of the University of Galway, thank you for joining us on Ars to Protect. And coming up on the programme next week, we'll be looking at Ars to Protect yet again. If you want to get your comments in or suggestions in, go to arsprotect@galwaybayfm.ie. That's the email address. And you can also text and WhatsApp us on 086 38 33 55 3 or call the station on 091 770 077. Until next Thursday at 11:30, have a very good weekend.
Ars to Protect, brought to you by Galway Bay FM, the IBI, and funded by Commission na Mban with the television licence fee. Check out arstoprotect.ie for more info.